Appreciate every one of you, and appreciate our leadership team and our worship team who are willing to make edits when we need to make edits. Like, this was totally unplanned, but they came up and did a great job. And you know, I just think that, you know, sometimes you just have to change, and you just have to listen to what God's doing and be led by the Spirit. And you know, we can take that to an extreme and not be prepared or anything like that. I can assure you, I have 6 pages of notes that I was planning on preaching, and because I love you, I'll probably only go through 2 of those. Okay, but I just felt like we needed to take some time before God and pray. So I hope that was meaningful to you. I hope it helps you to just remember to be praying for these things. What I'm going to do this morning is we're going to actually jump back into a series we've been going through on 1 Corinthians, and we kind of, during the Christmas holiday, took a little break, so we're going to step back in, and we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to probably just go through a little bit this morning, but we're calling this series We Are the Church. And Paul is writing to the church in Corinth that is kind of a mess. There's discord, division, all of these things going on in the church. And so I want to catch you up because we're in chapter 4. I want to give you a little bit of background if you're new here or if you're just like me and you forget where we're at. Basically what's happening is Paul is writing to them, and he's addressing these issues of division. He is reminding them that teachers, okay, during that time, teachers and leaders in the church, they were being elevated, and he's reminding them that we're all just a part of the body, okay? Even though someone might teach or they might lead, he goes, we're all really equal. Be careful that you don't start putting people on pedestals, and that's what was happening there. So he addresses that issue. He says, don't be fooled by people who use big words and crafty words and messages. And he says, remember, it's about the simple gospel of Jesus, that we all have our hearts turned towards Jesus. He is the one who's the leader of the church. He uses men and women in the process of leading, but it's really got to be about him and not about us, okay? He says, be careful that you don't get caught up in that and let religion supersede your relationship with God. So when I was in India, I saw a lot of religion. I mean, it was crazy. You're just driving on the road, and there's these 20-foot statues. And they're actually, like, some of them are statues of, like, funny-looking guys. You're like, it's odd. And we'll show you some pictures next week. But people stop there, and they do their little offering, and then they move on. And you see these idols with no power and people yet bowing down to them. And I think if we're not careful, we too can become people who just practice religion as opposed to having a relationship and a personal life-changing experience and relationship with the one true God through Jesus. And so in chapter 3, Paul's going, listen, keep it about Jesus. You know, if you're here, we were saying, keep it simple. Keep it about Jesus. Stop looking at men. Stop elevating men. It's about Jesus. It's about Christ and his kingdom. He says, and the reality is, some of us are gifted in different ways. Some of us plant the seed, some of us water the seed. It's not important who plants, it's not important who waters, but what is important is God who makes it grow. So our tendency is to look to men or look to ministries and go, man, these guys are really doing something great for Jesus. And, you know, it's really about him working by his Holy Spirit, not through me or a guy who stands up here and preaches, not through us alone, but through the whole body. So you've been given a gift. You're created by God and for God, and he wants to use you. And he says, you know, what you do with your life as you love and serve people out there is just as important as what a person like me who teaches does. So he goes, be careful. Make sure that you understand that we all have purpose in God's kingdom. Now that brings us to chapter 4. I'm going to read through some portions of chapter 4. I'm going to read it in the Message Bible. I usually don't use the Message Bible when I teach, but I am this morning. And for some of you who are real sticklers about Bible translations, get over it, okay? So, you know, some of you are like, you can't read the Message in church. It's a paraphrase. And Sometimes I think it's helpful just to change things up, and it's very very easy to read, and especially on a day like today where I'm not going to really have a lot of time to teach. I'm just going to take a few minutes. I want to read through. I want to make some application. Hopefully God stirs something in our hearts. But 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 to 4, Paul writes, "Don't imagine us leaders to be something we aren't. We're servants of Christ, not his masters. We're guides into God's most sublime secrets, not security guards posted to protect them. The requirements for a good guide are reliability and accurate knowledge. It matters very little to me what you think of me, even less where I rank in popular opinion. I don't even rank myself. Comparisons in these matters are pointless. I'm not aware of anything that would disqualify me from being a good guide to you, but that doesn't mean much. The master makes that judgment." So if you remember all that's taken place and kind of what I just explained there in Corinth, you know, they're elevating different leaders and Paul's trying to help them understand, listen, you know, we're all on equal footing here and it really doesn't matter what you think about me. What matters is what God thinks. He's like, God's the one who's going to judge us all. And just think about that as individuals. If we spent less time worrying about what people around us think and we spent more time concerned with what God thinks, think of how your life would change. I mean, let's be honest. How much time do we spend trying to please people? We won't admit that, but that's the reality. The time we spend with the clothes we pick out and all the things, or the car you buy or the place you live, and you know, we might not admit it up front, but we spend a lot of time worrying about what others think. Paul goes, it doesn't matter what others think. What matters is what God thinks, and if I'm living for him, I won't live perfectly, but I'm living for him, and I'm trusting that he's going to use me, okay? I go to a place like India, and you know, I'm with these people who are living in a shack, and they still have the joy of the Lord on their face and in their hearts, and you talk about not caring what other people think, they're like the only Christians in the area, you know, and they, some of them are at the point where they've gotten driven out of their villages because of their faith, and they're going, it really doesn't matter what you think, it's what I know, and he loves me, he changed my life, and even in the face of persecution, they stand. You know, it's about what he thinks and what he wants from our lives. There's another kingdom that supersedes this kingdom, and our eyes should be fixed more on that than on this. So Paul's trying to help them, listen, don't look at us as leaders. Make sure your focus stays on Christ. And he goes, I don't even care. If those people think I'm not a qualified leader, it doesn't matter. What matters is what God says, what he says about me, and I'm going to serve him, and I'm going to leave it at that. Look at verse 5. So don't get ahead of the master and jump to conclusions with your own judgments before all the evidence is in. When he comes, he will bring out in the open and place in evidence all kinds of things we never dreamed of, inner motives and purposes and prayers. Only then will any one of us get to hear the well done of God. So he goes, since God's the one who's going to judge, be careful that you don't judge prematurely. Don't be careful that you don't judge based on surface things, right? What did mom always say? Don't judge a book by its cover. See, you don't know the motives of people. And many times we tend to pass judgment on things. And he goes, be very, very careful. Only God knows the hidden motives, and he will make those known in his time. And we should check our motives as well. So when you go out and serve, what's our reasoning for doing the things we do? Are we doing them because we're just genuinely serving and loving people? Or are we living out a religion? Like if I do this, then maybe God will do this. Or if I go out and, or if I give this, then God's going to do this. And what happens is we easily find ourselves in this kind of formulaic religion, this A plus B equals C, but God doesn't work that way. See, that's every other religion, right? You go and do your thing, give your sacrifice and your offering, and you just believe that God's going to bless you as a result of that. What we need to remember as the people of God, he's already blessed us. He sent his one and only son. Scripture says he's given us every spiritual blessing. It says that if we seek first his kingdom, we take our eyes off this world, we look at his kingdom and love him and love the people around us, that all these things that we're running after will be added to us. Not our every want, but all of our needs. And so to love him, to serve him, to love the people around us, and then just trust, God loves us. He's a loving father. He's going to provide all of our needs. We have to be very, very careful that we don't fall into practicing religion. And we live for him, and then as Paul says, our hope is on that final day, he looks at us and says, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Instead of looking for that from men and women. In verse 6, he says, all I'm doing right now, friends, is showing you how these things pertain to Apollos and me so that you'll learn restraint and not rush into making judgments without knowing all the facts. It's important to look at things from God's point of view. I'd rather not see you inflating or deflating reputations based on mere hearsay. And I'm probably just going to stop with this, but he goes, you know, Paul's talking about their situation there in Corinth, you know. He's like, you know, people they're talking about Apollos, they're talking about Paul, they're comparing them. There's all this division. And he goes, listen, don't make judgments based on hearsay. Don't pass judgment on people. Don't be a person who puts that out there. And let's be honest, gossip destroys relationships. It divides churches, causes the world to look on and go, really? Like, you want me to become part of that? It's the same thing I see with my other circle of friends. You know, think about this. The seven deadly sins that are talked about in Proverbs, one of those is a man or woman who sows discord among brothers, who gossips. And I just want to challenge us with this. And just remember, gossip is not just talking bad about somebody, but gossip and sowing discord takes place when you tell people something that's true even about someone else, right? You hear something about someone, it may be true, and you pass that word on to someone else, it makes that person look bad, it elevates us, and he goes, be really careful with that. Because once you let those words out of your mouth, you can't take them back. You know, there's a scripture that says, only speak what's helpful and building others up. Don't be a person who sows discord among brothers and sisters. Because I have no idea what the person who I tell is going to do with that information. Once you say it, I mean, just think about that. Once you say it, it's totally out of your control. Did you hear about so-and-so? Or as Christians, you know, our favorite way of gossiping and trying to keep it, you know, like under the guise of being spiritual. Hey, you really need to pray for so-and-so because he's struggling with this. Or, you know what I mean? Like, come on, people. Let's love one another. And Paul is just, he's exhorting this community of faith going, make sure that you're loving each other, that you're not inflating and deflating reputations based on hearsay. I'll just read this last passage. I'm going to wrap up with this. I know this isn't your typical sermon. I'm just kind of reading scripture and giving you some commentary on it, but I hope you'll take some of this to heart. Verses 7 and 8. For who do you know that really knows you, knows your heart? Even if they did, is there anything they would discover in you that you could take credit for? Isn't everything you have, everything you are, sheer gifts from God? So what's the point of all this comparing and competing? You already have all you need. You already have more access to God than you can handle. That's great, right? Like, you don't even know what to do with it. I mean, God's opened the door for you to go to him, and you don't even know what to do with that. You really need more? He goes, without bringing either Apollos or me into it, you're sitting on top of the world, at least God's world, and we're right there sitting alongside of you. He says, there's no competition in the kingdom. There's no competition. Should be no competition when it comes to churches. Should be no competition among us as brothers and sisters in Christ. We should be walking together, encouraging one another, loving one another. Ultimately, it's about his reputation and not ours, right? So if I say something to disparage the church down the road, what does that do to God's reputation? It might elevate me in that moment and think, oh, we do it right. It's not about us, and it's not about our kingdom. It's not about our little world. It's about Christ and his kingdom. And me and you are representatives on this earth, and people are looking to see how well we represent him. Amen. And he goes, stop the competition. You got everything you need. Everything you need is yours. The relationship to God has been opened through Jesus Christ. All you have, all you could ever need is available to you. So remember, this world is very, very fleeting. Let us not put our hope in this world. Let us not put our hope in the stuff of this world. It's all going to pass away. Our reputations are all going to pass away. In the end, we're going to stand before God, and our hope is, as we've lived this life well, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And so that's my prayer for us this morning, is that we live out the rest of our days with our hearts turned toward him. Old people, there's some of you in this room, I'm right there. Old people, it's not too late to live for Jesus. It's not too late to totally sell out to Jesus. Those of us are kind of in the middle, don't get too comfortable. Don't get so inwardly focused that you forget, even in the midst of good things, your family and all that, you forget you have an opportunity to make an impact. Young people, one day you will be old, okay? listen, use the time that God has given you wisely. Take the energy that you have, use it for good. Make sure that our hearts are set on Christ and his kingdom and not on this world, chasing after the stuff of this world, because it's all going to be gone one day. And one day, we're all going to stand before him. And we don't know when it'll be our day when we get that phone call or that report, and it's not the report we were hoping for. And listen, your world can change like that. Like riding on top of the world, everything is great, and all it takes is one word from the doctor, or one, it's all fleeting. Focus on Christ, his kingdom. Let's do everything we can to love the people around us, to use the, he says, man, what do you have that hasn't been given to you? Hold it all with an open hand so we can be a blessing to this world. Amen? If you would, let's stand. I want to pray for us and just kind of wrap up with that, just asking God to continue to turn our hearts toward him and remind us who we are in light of his kingdom. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that every good and perfect gift we have comes from you. God, I pray that as we've just walked through just a little bit of scripture this morning, that something would stir in our hearts, something we could take away from here. Lord, whether it's looking at life a little differently, maybe being careful with our tongue, the way we talk about other people, we'd build them up instead of tearing them down. Maybe if it's that the competition that we find ourselves in, we feel like we need to impress people. God, help us to turn our hearts toward you, that we would live for you and live for your kingdom and really believe that you love us and not be worried so much about what other people think about us, but be worried about and concerned about what you think about us. God, all the things that we talked about earlier, all the people who are going through struggles and those things that are going on in our lives, I pray that when we walk out of this place today, we would carry those with us. You prompt us by your Spirit to just say a prayer, encourage someone, maybe pick up the phone and call someone we haven't in a while. Lord, just to know that we're your hands and feet here, and however you want to use us, God, help us to hold everything we have with an open hand, that we could be a blessing to you, be a blessing on this earth, and show the world around us your kingdom, and that you are alive. Fill us with your joy, God. Help us to live it out. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. The peace of God be with you as you go. Danae's going to be outside if you want to talk to her about any of the connection groups. Connect with one of those. And Matthew will be out there to talk about the youth dinner as well.